Welcome to the Phenomenal Podcast Experience. It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2019, approximately 5:19 p.m. in New York City. We're recording live downstairs in 368. I am Sam Scheffer, one of your co-hosts for the Phenomenal Podcast Experience.
And I'm your other co-host, Dylan Shine. And today, we're going to bring to you the Apple recap from today's event.
Throwback to 1 year ago.
Throwback.
Where it all started.
Yep.
We talked about this last podcast. So Apple did an event today. It was kind of a regular.
How would you rate it from like 1 to 10? What was it from past events? What would you think it's on the Sam Scheffer scale?
A solid like 6 out of 10.
That's fair.
I would say.
I would agree with that.
It was an hour 40. There was just enough room for one more thing, except they didn't do a one more thing. So in this podcast, we're going to just discuss what happened at the Apple event, and we're going to kind of give our thoughts, and we'll conclude with which iPhones we are or are not planning to buy.
All right.
So starting from the top, Tim Cook came out and spared no time. He was just like, I'm going to get right into it. We'll get right into it. So they opened with the Apple Arcade, right?
Yeah.
It's a gaming platform, a subscription gaming platform that spans across iPhone, iPad, Mac, and even Apple TV. It's called Apple Arcade, and it comes out on September 19th. It's $5 a month for a family plan, and you can get a free, I think, one-month trial.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting play because there are millions of apps in the App Store and, you know, tens of thousands of games. And I just wonder what this is going to do for game developers. It seems like they have their kind of like cluster of game developers that they're pushing at first. But will someone be more enticed to develop a game for the arcade or just like a regular kind of like sort of throwaway 99-cent game?
I would assume that the arcade is going to be exclusive to larger game studios.
Yeah.
Like the Konami, the Capcoms that they were presenting during the event. I think it's good for the game developers as it gives them a steady source of revenue because they're going to know they're going to have X subscribers a month that they're going to be getting a kickback from Apple.
Well, then how do you split that revenue with, you know, 40-50 developers?
I imagine that there's some, like, there's probably deals as it relates to how many downloads the specific games get, playtime, all these things, you know, similar to something like Spotify or something like that, right? But yeah. I think it's good for the game developers. I'm curious how it's going to play out as I don't really equate Apple products to being gaming devices.
Yeah, no.
I definitely think that's like a Microsoft.
Have you tried to game on an Apple TV with that
remote? I have Crossy Road, you know.
Yeah, it's not a great experience.
it's not made to game. And I think that there's peripherals and third-party, you know, accessories that make it more gaming friendly, if you will. But I definitely don't think that the arcade is their bread and butter as it relates to, you know, a software experience on an Apple device.
So that's how they open up the event. Arcade, they had some demos on stage. Then they jumped immediately into Apple TV Plus, which, as a quick refresher, is Apple's new subscription TV service, which until today we didn't know a price for. It's $5 a month, like Arcade, for a family subscription, and you get it for a year for free with the purchase of a new Apple product. So everyone that gets the new iPhones gets a year's worth of Apple TV Plus, and they show that one trailer for that show called
See.
with Jason Momoa. It looks like a movie. When I was watching that trailer, I was like, this feels like a movie. It's going to be a TV show.
I don't know.
Exclusive TV from Apple. I feel like we're almost going to go backwards where, like, at first no one wanted cable. You have too many channels, right? Now it's like you have 15 different subscriptions. It's like, what's the point? Apple TV, Hulu, Netflix, the Crunchyroll, this, that, like, I don't know. But it's half the price of Netflix and Hulu.
Yeah.
Also their content offering is way smaller.
I'm curious what the content offering as a whole is going to be, like, if they can compete with a Hulu or Netflix. But more so, I think it's an interesting play from Apple to get into the original content space because I feel like it's so hit or miss. It's a lot of money you got to kind of have to throw at the wall. And if you get a great writer, you get a whole cast involved and it becomes a really great production, you know, you get those big wins like Stranger Things or other types of.
Yeah.
But for Apple, it seems like, in my mind, Apple is all about control over the product, over the services, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I feel like television and just production in general, there's a lot of gamble to it.
Yep.
So I'm very curious. You know, they have the money to spend.
Definitely. They've spent billions on their original
But it's
content.
Not like the type of thing where you could hire all the best engineers and throw as much money at a product sometimes and it's going to turn out to be great. It just seems, it's a little odd. I understand why Apple's doing it, but I'm at the same time a little skeptical as to relate to the quality of the content that they're going to be able to produce.
And they're also competing with legacy. Netflix is like a household name. Apple obviously is like a household name with iPhone, but I don't know anyone that thinks of like kick-ass original content and they're going to go, oh yeah, Apple TV Plus. We'll see how it goes. But based on, you know, kind of the chatter I've seen on the internet and Twitter and whatnot, I don't think Apple has enough content yet to make it, you know, even able to compete with something like Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, well, can you go on Apple TV Plus and is it the same iTunes store?
That would be interesting because they do have a ton of
Apple
content
has
as it relates
iTunes
to the
store,
iTunes.
Right, but like for the original content stuff, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm curious. I'll probably get on Apple TV Plus, and it seems like you can access it from any iOS device, right?
Yeah.
So like there will
be
the TV app. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'll have to see what the content selection is. I mean, $5 a month is nothing. It's really not much. You skip a cup of coffee once here in the city and you have your Apple TV for a month. But I'll give the show a try, the Jason Momoa show. See, like, they're spending so much money. Like, you got to believe it's good, right?
Well, I just don't think, like, TV works like that. When you think about, like, great blockbusters that they spent millions upon, you know, millions of dollars on these budgets and they just turn out to be crap. Like it's the same way. I don't know. Just because it's Apple produced, I don't think gives it that like brand value.
Right.
When you think of other products that Apple produces, you think that there's like a nicety and they're like, there's a higher standard that is involved when you think
about
Apple
products.
We live
in a weird time that Apple, the iPod, Apple, the iMac, the eMac, you know, the Apple IIe, they have a TV platform now. It's strange. They're spending
into the service.
They're spending billions of dollars on original content. I don't know. I've always been rooting for Apple. Like I'm obviously a self-proclaimed Apple fanboy, but I don't know. Maybe I'm biased because I don't watch that much TV. I just don't know how many people are like excited to go and spend more money on another subscription service as almost like a gamble. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to reserve my thoughts until Apple TV Plus hits. The first shows hit November 1st. I have written in my notes. I was taking notes while the live stream was happening. Also, shout out to the people that tuned in on Twitch. Okay. After they did Apple TV Plus, they went right into the iPad.
Yeah.
We did not see the new iPad Pro, which we thought would have the dual camera, which we might honestly see in October because they usually do an iPad event in October. And we might see the MacBook in October, which also we didn't see the 16-inch MacBook, which is a shame. So this new iPad, they got rid of the 9.7-inch display. So there's no longer an iPad with this 9.7-inch display. It is has the old form factor. It has a home button. It has bezels. It has sharp corners. It's running the A10 Fusion, and it's a 10.2-inch Retina display, starting at $329.
It's a good price.
So I'm thinking you're in sixth grade, little Tony. You know, mom and dad are thinking maybe it's time for his first computer, and they go to Best Buy and they see all these mediocre Windows laptops for $599, $799. Then they look at the iPad and they say, whoa, $329 for an iPad? Pretty, not a hard sell. A $329 iPad, not that hard of a sell.
I think it's interesting because they were mentioning that the previous model, the 9.7 inch is 60% of, I believe, the iPad purchasers, as well as
the first-time purchasers
as well. So I think it's interesting that they kept the home button. I'm not a huge,
strange.
I might be an individual by saying that I'm not really I prefer the new operating system and how you have the swipe up at your home button. I think it's great. Like,
for,
it's great.
You're saying iPad OS, you're talking about the swipe up from the bottom on the iPhones now and on the new iPad.
And on
new
iPads.
The new iPad has Face ID.
Yes. I think what's interesting is that they're building, or my interpretation is that they're building this product to cater to that sort of mainstream audience, like the younger kid, the older individual who may just want the old, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it type mentality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's kind of the gist that I got when they had mentioned, you know, it's of course like they have better hardware in it, but the, you know, the chassis is somewhat, you know, very, you know, familiar, and the home button and all these other things. I think that it's just going to deliver a similar experience as people are used to, you know, since iPad first came out, really.
Sorry, I'm just trying to deal with something on the computer. Apologies, podcast listeners. That's what happens when you try and multitask. So iPad, I mean, it's kind of weird that we saw a refreshed iPad at an Apple event. I just feel like it's such a strange, like it's such a small, weird tweak for their lineup that it's like, it almost goes unnoticed. It's like, oh, the new iPad, larger 10.2-inch display up from a 9.7-inch display. And it's like still has a home button and there's an A10 in there. It's old, old hardware. It's like they're deliberately recycling this stuff.
It's probably their bread and butter. They recognize that people like these devices, and
I almost kind of feel bad for someone that's going to go into the Apple store and they're going to spend $350 on something that is like already outdated in a sense.
Well, think of the next higher up. Like the price point is drastically different. So I think for somebody who wants an introductory device, it's not the worst option. And they've seen that people really enjoy the devices. They like the form factors. They like the, you know, the home buttons, if you will. It's not the worst idea on their behalf to just give it a kind of a revamp, give it that publicity that it needs to get it out the door. And, you know, if people like it, they're going to buy it at the end of the day.
I'm curious to know if you're listening to this and you have kids, would you buy your kid this iPad? Like, what purpose does this serve? Where, if you spent an extra $300, do you get that much better of a product? I don't know. It just seems like a little bit of a strange kind of just like, oh yeah, by the way, we updated this iPad, but everything else, you know, in the lineup stays the same. So yeah, now there's like iPad Pro, iPad Air, iPad regular, and then iPad mini. So I don't know. It's like, okay, 2019, Apple's pushing the, you know, the edge to edge, all this stuff, but now they still have these kind of legacy looking products. But okay, I'm done being a crab about this iPad. And then I guess to the meat and potatoes of this podcast, probably the part where you're listening for is the new iPhones. So just like the leaks said, just like our podcast said, just like all of the rumors have said, oh yeah, we forgot about the watch. You're right. We forgot. Look at that. We forgot about the watch. Fine. So putting pause on, I'm just so excited to talk about the iPhone. I should have been going in order in my notes,
we'll cut,
which I
and
have
we'll do
here.
The watch. We'll just cut and we'll just go right to the watch and we'll piece this together. It'll make sense.
That's going to be such a pain in the ass.
We got to do it.
All right.
We have to do it at this point.
No. Let's just go to the iPhone. Fuck it. You're already here listening to the podcast. We're bumbling idiots at this point. Neither of us had a sip of alcohol, but you know what? It's fine. Apple Watch, also, iterative update. No new body style. There's new finishes, titanium and ceramic. The newest kind of like marquee feature for this Apple Watch, which like, how did it take them five generations to do this? The always-on display. Now you buy an Apple Watch Series 5, the display is never black, which like, hello, it's a watch. That also, I don't know if you've ever worn an Apple Watch for an extended period of time. It is obnoxiously annoying to like flick your wrist. Like you almost start developing this like weird tick when you're trying to see your watch. And then sometimes it turns on when you don't want it to. And like when I've worn it, like you're taking a nap or something and the screen just like turns on in front of your face. So good job, Apple, for doing an always on display in your product.
And a compass as well, which is kind of...
And a compass,
it's very minor updates. I think... You know, the new Hermes version of the watch is very pretty.
It's hot.
But overall, as you had mentioned, yeah, it's not game-changing. The watch is the watch. You can get a Series 4, whatever. Series 4, Series 5 doesn't matter, like, to some degree. Like, the watch is
Series
4
and Series 5 are pretty similar, yeah. But it's just like, I feel like I've said this before, but it's just like, this should have been the first Apple Watch. Can you imagine if 5 years ago, Apple came out with this LTE, edge-to-edge, all these crazy sensors and all this biometric stuff. Like, yeah, they gotta make their money. They gotta make their billions and do yearly updates and that kind of thing. But I just almost feel for the customers that have been buying, you know, if someone bought a Series 3, you know, and then Series 4 is this new form factor. And then you buy a Series 4 and then there's Series 5. it's just like crap. You know, Apple just like makes you feel like crap. My product is never good enough.
They're smart in that regard, in the sense that like they recognize as much as they could ship in 1 year, they could probably do it all. They're smart by making it iterative and giving people a reason to come back to the store and get it. Like, I think some products will ship all these features and maybe they're like kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
But if you really take the time and perfect it, not to say that Apple is the only type of company who can perfect their products, mm-hmm. but I really think that's something that Apple strives for, is delivering very high quality products. And when you have your yearly calendar and you can throw X amount of resources and making one feature really great instead of delivering four features that are kind of I think they do a good job. And, you know, as you had mentioned, it's kind of a cash grabby a little bit in the sense that, but, you know,
so
it's their strategy.
Like, we're going to get a new Apple Watch next year.
Yeah, probably. Right.
I guess
every
that's
single
just
year,
the,
you know,
the song that Apple sings every year. Is
as
like,
much as the hardware will progress, you know, a new version of iOS and watchOS and mm-hmm. tvOS, they're coming every single WWDC.
Yep.
So when new software comes in, it usually needs new hardware. And,
yeah.
You know, the cycle continues.
So I guess, like, if you have an Apple Watch Series 1, 2, or 3, this probably is a worthy upgrade. If you have a Series 4, it's hard to recommend the Series 5, I would say. But that always-on display is hardware limitation. That's not a software thing. They were explaining it's, like, under the glass, there's this layer, whatever, all this stuff. And I'll have to see the finishes in person. I bet the titanium looks pretty sick. You can match your Apple card if you want to. Do you have one, Dylan?
No.
No, I don't
either. I don't need another credit card.
Another,
that's my thing. It's like, who needs another line of credit?
Yeah. No, not me. So that's the Apple Watch. I mean, we're blazing through this, but Apple also pretty much blazed through this, it felt. And also no sleep tracking in the new watch, which was rumored. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Apple Watch Series 5, always on display. Titanium and ceramic finishes. There's a compass in it now. And then there's like this new experience for customizing the watch. When you go to the store, you can pick out any band configuration. There's not that, which that's
like,
pretty
cool. It's like Build-A-Bear for Apple Watch.
And on that note, we're moving to the iPhone, which honestly, that's a pretty good comparison. So, okay. So jumping around back and forth to and from iPhone 11, which what we said, everything came true pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, not everything.
Well, you didn't think that the iPhone 11 would just have the dual camera setup.
No, yeah.
Just for the iPhone 11?
Yeah, because the iPhone 11 replacing the XR.
Yeah.
So, iPhone 11, which is replacing the XR effectively, has a dual camera system, which interestingly enough, they removed the telephoto lens, and now you get the standard lens, and then you get an ultra wide lens, 120 degrees field of view. I think they're both 12 megapixels. There are some new colors for the iPhone 11. It's there's like this pink, basically green, yellow, white, black, and then product red. But it's very much an iPhone XRS, if you will. Like what you would expect Apple to do from the XR to the XRS is the iPhone 11. So I'm just in my notes here. There's the new colors. There's the dual camera system, which I think it kind of sucks that you don't have that telephoto lens, because I use the telephoto lens all the time. Not that I speak for everyone, but it's nice to have a zoom, optical zoom functionality in the phone, but you are not getting that with an iPhone 11. Just want to be very clear. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not a super tech nerd, the iPhone 11 doesn't have a telephoto lens. The iPhone 11 Pro does, but we'll talk about that in a second. There's night mode now in the iPhone, which is nice.
Yep.
I don't think it's one of those choices of like photo, video, time lapse, whatever. It will just automatically turn it on. It'll automatically do it. Maybe there's a setting buried in iOS 13, but from what I understood, it's just like if you took a low light photo, it'll do the processing for you. Maybe it'll show like when you have HDR, it shows you the HDR little watermark. But
I would imagine that they would allow you to turn it off because nobody just wants that. I can imagine that there's photographers that wouldn't want that by default.
Okay. I hope that there's a setting somewhere in iOS 13 that you can have the option to like enable it or disable it in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I just will say the night mode samples they had on stage looked incredible. Again, the Pixel 3 is still, you know, well, also Pixel 4 is coming very soon, but Pixel 3 is kind of the reigning champ for smartphone photography, especially in low light. So that'll be a fun comparison to see what the Pixel 4 does and how the iPhone 11 stacks up against it. They're introducing, Apple is introducing this thing called, Quick Take, which, like the Snapchat camera button, which Instagram copied, Apple is now copying. It is the same kind of like button when you go to take a picture. If you press and hold the camera button, it starts to record a video, just like you're familiar with on your iPhone or Android device on your favorite social media apps like Instagram and Snapchat. I thought that was kind of crazy that they did that. It seems like not an iOS thing, but I guess so many people use Stories on their phones now that like putting that UX where it's like, oh, you press and hold the button, or maybe it's like you press and hold and you slide it over, because press and hold is burst. Again, I don't have the devices. I don't have iOS 13. I don't know how this stuff is exactly going to work, but you bet your ass I'm getting an iPhone 11 Pro and iOS 13. They also put a wider front camera. So when you take a photo with the front camera on these new iPhones and you turn the phone sideways, it kind of like opens up the field of view a little bit, which is interesting. Again, don't really have details on that. That was just another thing I have written on my notes here. Front camera also shoots 4K 60, which is kind of insane. Pretty sure they said that on stage. 4K 30, 4K 60 mm-hmm. with the front camera. And then slow motion video in the front camera. I'm not even going to say the word out loud. Slow selfie.
Yeah, slow-fee, whatever it was.
I will never, that's the word, I will never say that out loud.
It's like Voldemort's name.
I've typed it, but I will not say it. Cute Apple, their ad was super cute with the girl and her presumably younger brother like blow-drying her hair. It was a cute little ad, but oh man, that name just the yeah.
The slow-fee's real.
It's just like so, it's like, this is Apple. This is like elegant, highbrow Apple.
And they, we're talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, if that's marketing and we're having a conversation, they got us.
I guess.
Because we're slow-fiend.
I just remember back in like the iPhone 3G days. Like, there were no slow-fies in the iPhone 3G days. Okay. No. Mostly because there wasn't a front-facing camera in the iPhone 3G. Okay. Yeah. All right, moving on. To the to what you came for. Here you go. It's the main course. iPhone 11 Pro leaked to the moon and back, all the way. Leaked even so far that there are features that didn't even make it to the phone. And there are features that are being reserved for the 2020 iPhone. Yeah. Look, I'm poking a lot of fun on this episode. Like, if you've known me for more than a minute, you know that I love Apple. I use an iPhone. I have a MacBook in front of me. I just like, it just sucks for Apple that all this stuff leaks. There is no element of surprise anymore. It's sad.
Well, has it come from somebody on the inside of their employee? Maybe, I don't know. I don't work at Apple. I don't know how they handle the PR. Is it a purposeful leak from someone?
There are people that are convinced that some of this stuff is deliberate, but like, dude, all of the CAD models and the casing,
well, that
and
has
the
to,
info,
that has
it's
to,
like,
you know, that
but
makes
dude,
sense.
The level of details that we've heard, we knew exactly what it was going to be.
I can imagine that. Well, think about this as well. As soon as they ship off those specs to actually get these phones produced overseas, I can imagine that there's somebody over there that can probably get their hands on it. It's not as like, they don't have as much control overseas as they do at
that's
Menlo,
that was their whole
or,
thing is
or not Menlo,
is like
a cup or
well there was like Tim Cook was like, oh, we're doubling down on secrecy, blah blah blah, but yeah, the phone leaked.
Yeah,
in
the
its
phone
entirety.
Leaked
entirety. Like, we knew everything. So we'll just go through what we knew and then what came true.
Yeah.
Triple lens camera system.
Yeah.
Ultra wide camera, regular sort of camera, and then the zoom camera. Though that came to life, we knew there'd be a new finish. So I read on Twitter, someone that had hands on with the phone, they said it feels like a MacBook. Like,
that's good. I like that.
Which I really like too. It's a glass finish with
recycled aluminum body.
Yep. No, I think they said stainless steel. I think the recycled aluminum was the 11.
Oh.
The iPhone 11 Pro is stainless steel with this matte texture and finish. There is a new color, midnight gray, and then they have space gray, silver, and gold. I'm definitely getting, I'm going to save it for the end of the podcast. The green color looks pretty sick. Yeah, I've just posted you can go to apple.com and choose the AR functionality, and then you can like see the green iPhone. It's cool that there's like an actual like forest green military kind of like darker muted green rather than like a limey, poppy,
light, super bright green. Yeah,
like a teenage green rather than like a middle-aged man green or middle-aged woman, you know, whatever floats your boat. So we knew there'd be new colors. We knew there'd be new finish. We knew there'd be the triple camera system. Apple's calling this Super Retina XDR display. I'm not sure how much you're going to notice the new display. A13 Bionic, which makes sense. Battery life, they advertise for the regular size, 4 hours longer than the XS.
Yep.
And then the larger size, 5 hours more than the Pro Max. It's so crazy. I'm not over how they just, like, they're taking stabs at themselves at this point. Like, yeah, remember this iPhone that we announced exactly a year ago? Well, guess what? This is a new I mean, and it's like, yeah, Sam, no shit. They do this every year. But it's like the fact that on their website, it's like 4 hours longer than the XS. So you see that XS that you're reading on? This iPhone gets longer than that. It's like, it's just so strange.
What? I'm curious.
Why don't they just tell me the milliamp hours of the battery?
No, but I'm curious. How much of it is a battery performance increase versus a software performance increase,
or with their new chips, Bionic and the iOS 13,
because it all has to come into harmony as it relates to power consumption. And you know, one thing that's actually interesting, Facebook did a study, and when I was at WWDC 2 years ago, I was speaking with the people on the battery performance team, if you will, and they were saying that turning the antenna on and off is probably one of the biggest
that taxes the battery like crazy, right? Yeah,
and so. You know, I think that
like going in and out of airplane mode,
anything when the phone is trying to search for a network,
yes,
essentially, it's
coming on and off.
That
is
what's going to kill it the most.
Yes.
But of course, like the display and whatnot, you're playing a game. That's
But
how much of it is them developing new strategies to handle stuff like that, which is really kind of handled by the operating system, on top of what type of, because like batteries really evolved all that much in the past 10 years? You know, we're still using lithium ion batteries. So I can't imagine it's too much from the hardware perspective. I think that their chips are using the batteries more effectively. And with iOS 13 and the software upgrades, like you're going to have better battery life.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, this happens every year. Every year, the new iPhone's better than the last one.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yes, that's, you have to.
4 hours is a lot. Is a
that,
long
right. It's
time.
Substantial. It's substantial. But it's crazy that they're naming the XS like by name. Lasts up to 4 hours longer than the iPhone XS. It's like, okay, well, what about my XS that was touted against the 10 last year?
Yeah. I would really be curious to see why that's the case.
And for 4 hours,
and I'm definitely going to do a little bit more research
What size the battery is versus all of the
factors that go into trickery
and whatever they do, all their magic. Okay, so some more random kind of like this is. I'm just going to go from memory here for the iPhone 11 Pro. There is no backside charging, which we thought we were going to get reverse charging for the AirPods. So that never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
Gurman tweeted that yesterday. Which it's I don't think they just scrap plans a day before for a flagship hardware.
Maybe they just like they have these switches on there. Like, all right, this is actually going to cause the phone to crap out.
But
like,
then what? So
turn
then
we see
teardowns, and then the thing is there. Like the charging plate is there or whatever.
Maybe.
It is.
I would love
crazy.
To see if somebody wants to cut up from the back of that phone and see what.
I mean, jerry-rig everything will tear that down immediately.
I'd be curious. I highly doubt it because they're not going to continue to manufacture.
Yeah, no way.
Or something
no
like
way.
That. No.
IP68 water resistance. They say, you know, obviously super durable, blah, blah, blah. They removed force touch. They removed 3D touch. So now it's this haptic touch. So you long press instead of the depth pressing. We talked about this. I'm kind of okay with that. Let's see. The front camera also on the iPhone 11 Pros do, 4K video recording, which is pretty crazy. There are the three cameras in the back plus the front camera, and using Filmic Pro, this pro video app that I think like costs $20. I bought it a long time ago. Worth the money if you shoot a lot of video on your phone. You can record with multiple cameras at the same time, which is absolutely bananas. I've always thought it would be so sick to be recording video with both of the cameras at the same time. And here we are, 14 iPhones in or whatever we are technically now. which is really cool. And they had a whole demo with Filmic Pro and the guy who made that. There was like an iPhone, a movie shot exclusively on iPhone a couple years ago. We covered it at The Verge. That guy and the Filmic guy were on stage talking about that. And they had this crazy demo where you can select multiple cameras and the recording at the same time. That's so sick. Like, if there was one thing that I came away with from this event, it's the triple lens camera system, and you can actually do cool things with it.
Yeah.
And I imagine app developers are going to build sick camera apps. And I would imagine also, I'm thinking back now to watching the event, it doesn't feel like there were so many iPhone-specific iOS 13 features. Like, usually Apple does the software, and then in the fall is the hardware, which, like, when they're joined, enables all this crazy stuff. It did. Apple didn't really say, like, because of iOS 13, there's like X, Y, and Z. It just seemed like, okay, new iPhone. We already knew it's running on iOS 13. Here you go.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see kind of like what else. Because Apple doesn't talk about everything on stage at all. There is on, and I tweeted about this. You probably saw this if you follow me on Twitter. But there is a new chip, Dylan, inside this iPhone called the U1. Did you see this? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The U1, and of course my Twitter's loading super slow. Okay, the U1. The new Apple-designed U1 chip uses ultra-wideband technology for spatial awareness, allowing iPhone 11 Pro to precisely locate other U1-equipped Apple devices. It's like adding another sense to iPhone, and it's going to lead to some amazing new capabilities.
Yep.
Indoor tracking.
Yep.
Huge.
Does it come with an RFID? Is that, does it have that type of capability?
That's
that
a great question. I'm not sure. NFC the iPhone has, but I don't know if it has RFID. With U1 and iOS 13, you can point your iPhone towards someone else's and AirDrop will prioritize that device.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's a lot of doors to go open.
A lot of doors could be open with that. And they didn't mention that on stage at all. There's a whole new chip. And then someone tweeted at me, can you imagine being on the hardware engineering team that built a whole new chip for the iPhone and you get zero stage time? Sure feels
yeah,
sad,
sure,
man.
Sure feels good. But yeah, I think it's great. I think it opens up a lot of doors. I've been in the past where I've been on pitches and, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but we've been asked to implement things such as like indoor location navigation, stuff like that, which would have been a lot easier had we had something like this in the phone.
That's always been the hardware limitation,
right?
It's
been, you know, past implementations have been done using beacons and stuff like that.
Yep,
if you're familiar.
But this is built into the device.
But I think that stuff like this can make it easier, especially if you have a lot, if you have a great pool of devices.
Yep. Like, can you imagine when there's, I don't know, 10 million iPhone 11s in the world? You know,
yeah,
a couple hundred thousand iPhone 11s in Manhattan alone.
I think it's going to play into also that whole Find My iPhone.
Yeah, which also would be a good segue into another thing we didn't see was the Apple tags. And look, I'm not here saying that all of the rumors and all of the leaks would come true, but some of the stuff, just the level of detail, it was almost like, yeah, we'll probably see that. Yeah, we'll probably see that. So we didn't see these rumored Apple tags, which would effectively, I would say, it's probably just like the size of a coin with the U1 chip inside. That's probably just what it is.
For me, I think that they're going to release it closer to Christmas. I think it makes
it's like
in
a
my mind,
little...
it makes a great gift.
Yep.
Like, you want to give it to it, it's a great gift for anyone, really. Any Apple,
I'm gonna
Apple
buy
device
10 of
user,
them.
It just makes sense. So I think, as we had mentioned, like no MacBook Pro,
right? No,
no
MacBook
updated
Pro,
iPads,
yep.
No tags. Like, I think we're gonna see more of those things in releases later this year.
Sure.
But other than that, yeah, that's, you know, it was, you know,
it was whelming. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't underwhelming.
It was straight up whelming.
It was whelming. I mean, it's just we are so far into this Apple legacy journey that, like, I don't know. I'll just say it now. I'm holding out for the 2020 iPhone.
Yeah.
I think the 2020 iPhone could finally, like they said, the iPhone 10 resets the iPhone, where they were like, oh yeah, it's been the best upgrade since the original iPhone. This is our dream iPhone. No, I think their dream iPhone is just a one sheet of glass that has no notch, no bezels, no buttons, no ports, nothing. That is like the future iPhone. And I don't think that the iPhone 11 warrants the Pro moniker. I'm sorry, Apple. It doesn't. A Pro iPhone has a high refresh rate display. A Pro iPhone has a 1 terabyte storage iPhone. A Pro iPhone has USB-C.
I agree.
And we didn't get any of those.
I think
I'm whelmed. But you know what's just pathetic, and I keep interrupting you, Dylan, because I'm on a rampage right now. I'm going to get the new iPhone. Like, that's a of course I'm going to get the new iPhone. I can't sleep at night knowing that I don't have the newest iPhone because I'm sick. But guess what? I'm going to get the new iPhone next year also. I just hope, I really, really hope that the hardware doesn't leak. Like the actual new body style that there's been rumored now, that it doesn't leak.
When's the last time
an iPhone didn't leak?
No, not that. But when you mentioned the 2020 iPhone, like, you don't think that they're just going to put an S model on this and wait another year? Like when is the last time? I can't even think.
Well, now they're on a 3. They're on a 3-year cycle now.
To me, I do agree. It's not as pro as we'd probably have liked.
So you think we're going to get an iPhone 11s?
Probably. Yeah, the 11s.
The 11s. Well, and also, why didn't they call it the iPhone XI? Oh, so you're saying that the X was confusing for consumers. Oh, interesting. Got it.
What happened to the whole X?
iPhone 9?
Yeah, for me, I feel like the marketing team just got really involved and they're like, nobody wants to buy a 9. Everybody wants to buy X. X is going to market so much better.
Yep.
And now we're just skipping, you know, the R.
But it's just funny that they called it the iPhone 11. They got rid of the Roman numerals.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Okay, maybe. Now, Dylan, this is what everyone wants to know.
What?
What iPhone are you getting?
Am I going to get?
Yeah.
I don't even know at this point. Man, I'm really, I was coming in today thinking that,
you're going to go buy a new MacBook.
I was going to buy a new MacBook Pro. I was going to get a new phone. Everything was going to be great. I don't have a MacBook. In my mind, the computer versus the phone was my big priority. But now that I don't even have a computer on the table, the thought is, do I get the phone?
Yeah.
And for me, I am more of a developer and less of a photographic content creator. And I feel like this type of phone...
You heard it here first. Photographic content creator. That's what I am, okay?
Yeah. But hear me out, though.
Sure.
For me, it's not as big of a draw. The three-lens camera is not as big of a draw for me. I would hope that, pro... It's only pro in the sense of you're turning your phone into a camera. I don't think that there's anything other... What other pro element does this phone offer me other than its camera?
And, nothing.
And with that, I have to say that I'm on the fence.
And with that, I'm out.
But I think the colors are great. I definitely think the build quality is going to be there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be better than my current phone for
sure. Of course.
Battery life, always a big plus. However,
okay, so you're on the fence.
I'm super on the fence. I'm going to see when it comes out. I'd love to get a hands-on, and I'll make my decision there. It's not something that I'm really revving to go for just by seeing it on stage. I think there's been products in the past where I've been super hyped just when I saw it come out for the first time. I think that this is good. Like iPad Pro of last year.
Yeah,
for
it was insane.
I was like, holy moly.
Yeah.
It's something I had
and
to
even
buy.
Still, a year later, it's a fantastic device.
Yeah, but this for the iPhone, I'm like...
Yeah.
It's not all there for me.
Okay.
And that's where I stand.
For me, I'm going full speed ahead blindly at a midnight green iPhone 11 Pro. I don't think that there's any separating features from the Pro Max and the Pro aside from battery life. I'll have to do more research, but I think...
Usually the Max isn't as great because you get the same hardware and it has to power a larger display.
Right. And then also, who wants a tablet in their hands? I don't. I think I usually go for the new color for the new iPhone, and there's never been a flagship green iPhone. And you can't call a 5C or whatever the 10R flagship. And again, I really like the color of the midnight green. I'm curious to know your thoughts, podcast listeners. If you've made it all the way to the end, give them a word.
The word is dime.
Dime.
Yes.
Dime. Not die or dying.
Dime.
It's dime. D-I-M-E. Like the Canadian skate company that Daron is wearing a shirt that says dime. That's where you got dime from. You're rinsed. All right.
You put me on the spot. What do you want me to do?
This might be one of the quirkiest episodes we've ever recorded, but I think as a general overall recap, it's tough for Apple to keep doing this 3 times a year. It's like Dub Dub, the September event. They sometimes do a Mac event. Like there's like 3-4 events a year. It's like, how many times year after year can they continue one-upping themselves? How about they skip a year and then everyone's like, oh my God, Apple's going to shit.
No,
and then,
I think it'd like, be too bad for like, no, they would think there'd be internal stuff going on.
No,
the stock price would go someplace. Like,
I just hope for Apple's sake, like, I hope that they are able to keep the magic alive, you know, for to get people excited. Because, like, if you paid an ounce of attention to the tech news cycle in the last 5 months, you saw this iPhone.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I think there's cool things on the horizon, but I think that it's things that are outside of Apple's control. As we spoke about last episode, 5G and other things that are going to allow them to put out hardware that is going to offer, like, that's going to provide the experience that they want to give their users.
Yeah.
And as of right now, I think that you had mentioned we have these small incremental changes, whatnot, but the tech hasn't caught up to, I guess, you know, the prowess, the onus that Apple wants to provide, in my opinion.
Yeah. Which next year, 2020 iPhone, USB-C, ProMotion display, new body,
all that stuff.
All that stuff.
Hopefully. Who knows? Like, I've been disappointed by Apple before. So, like, yeah. Who knows? At the end of the day, it's in Apple's court. I do think that they're still making good products. I think that the products probably aren't as revolutionary as we once thought they were.
Nope.
We're kind of used to it at this point.
Yep.
But
And so if you're listening to this and you wanted info, iPhone 11 pre-orders, new time this year. They're doing 5 a.m. California, 8 a.m. New York. Previously, it's been 3 a.m. New York, 12 a.m. California, that like Thursday going into Friday. So now you set your alarm for Friday morning at 5 a.m. or I'll be up at 8 a.m. on Friday to pre-order my 11 Pro in midnight green for pickup at the Apple Store, either wherever, Soho, World Trade.
Soho.
I'll get it. There will be YouTube videos. Next week's podcast, I won't have the iPhone yet, but we'll find some other
stuff to bullshit about. We have a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, the tech sphere is never ending. Like, who knows what news is going to break between now and next, whatever it is, I guess Tuesday. But that's it. Leave us a tweet, Dime.
If you listen through, we really appreciate your listens.
And rate us on iTunes, blah, 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 all that stuff. Tell your friends. This has been Apple Recap Phenomenal Podcast Experience. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Have a great day.